T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Real quickly, just, our, I guess, year-to-date pressure that's required. What is it now, a week and a half? Feels like it's been, longer than that. I would say, honestly, after the game for 2 to 3 days, much like normal people, I sat, probably didn't come out of my room. I ate Jenny's ice cream and watched Netflix for three straight days. There's certain vices you gravitate to. For me, it's probably sugar. Anyway, much of what we told the team, that obviously there are disappointments that you go through relative to your season and this one, where it happened, in the postseason, and we've got to, we've got to be able to get past that, and we will. We've got good leadership on this team. And I don't know that you'd ever completely get over it, but I think you do get past it, and there's enough resolve, I think, that this time away is healthy, and when it starts back up again in the spring, and we'll look at that calendar, you get back at it again. Yeah, absolutely. The makeup of the team has a lot to do with why you're playing in a game like that to begin with.
Are you satisfied with the explanation that you got from the league and all the people you talked to?
Look, the first time I spoke with anyone was in the locker room right after the game, and Al Riveron, as disappointing as it was to talk with him about it, was fantastic. He was brutally honest. And that came from him directly. And then after that, briefly on Monday and Tuesday, I spoke with Troy and Roger, and it was just brief.
Sean, as a member of the competition committee, can you explain what needs to be evaluated as to whether pass interference should be reviewable?
I think that, look, it's very common in our league for certain events to take place, and then, man, there's a reaction maybe in the off season where we look at, oftentimes we find our own flaws because of some loophole. I mean, if you look out throughout the history of our game, the forward fumble by the Raiders, there's been these events that that at times potentially change rules. I can't say specifically. I like the fact that I'm a part of that committee, and I know every offseason the members of that committee, we all sit down and, I mean, really try to grind on, hey, how to make this game better, safer, and then present it to ownership and the other coaches. And so this year will be no different. Certainly there'll be topics like this that are brought up. The topic's one thing, the solution's the more challenging thing that we're all looking for.
Sean, do you have a specific solution that you would advance, or is that just going to be
No, not yet. I mean, I think that, we're further along now with technology, but not anything specific right now. I think as we get closer, I think talking to your peers and your other fellow coaches and people in the business, there are a lot of great ideas. You take what happened in the kickoff and how, we took the special team coaches. We took a lot of people that were experts in that area and sat them down, and I think they came up with a real good solution this offseason. So this specifically really pertains to timing of games, how much can be reviewed, and that's a little bit more challenging.
How about one challenge to challenge a judgment call? Do you think that's a possibility?
That you can put that in a little slip and send it to the box and we'll consider it. I mean, it's just again, it's timing and it's, you know, is it functional? Is it practical?
Sean, is it common or uncommon to talk to the league officials with an officiating issue right after a game? Does that typically take place, or is that Monday?
That doesn't happen often. Occasionally it does. It might be something. Oh, there might have been a call that you're like, we played the Raiders here a few years ago, I think opening weekend. But that's not typically the norm. And Al was great.
What was the nature of your conversation with Roger Goodell?
Just, it was brief and between he and I.
Sean, would a public statement make any difference at this point?
Are you talking about from?
From them, just admitting.
Listen, I'm back to the ice cream and the Netflix. And there's a point where you just, you know that things aren't changing. And then, you know, you get wrapped up in a new series, a new episode, and it comes back again, and then you get wrapped up in a new series, a new episode. So,
what have you been watching on Netflix?
Man, all of it. You name it.
What do you recommend for the offseason? True Detective? Checking out True Detective?
Nah, listen, there's this cross between, you watch the Ted Bundy tapes, and then all of a sudden you watch a series called You, and it's like when Ted Bundy met, like, Dawson's Creek, so it's brutal.
So with the elapsed time, did it give you a chance to, I guess, reflect on the accomplishments that the team did have individually and collectively?
Probably not as much. You know, look, I'm proud of, this is a team that won 14 games with a pretty good schedule, played a lot of good teams, a lot of playoff teams, and so that's considering the season they had the year before is encouraging. I mean, those are a lot of wins. And obviously you want to be in that last game, and it didn't work out. So, but outside of that, you know, it's still early in that process.
Sean, you said you like eventually come to a point where you know there's nothing you can do about it.
It was fairly
early. No.
I think it was my discussions briefly on Monday and Tuesday with the commissioner and with Troy were relative to just, you know, not any type of reversal or anything like that. It was just simply the play that in any statement or, but no, I mean, I think that, look, there's tons of people that reach out to you. You get a ton of, you know, text messages and emails and, you know, you're appreciative of all that. And then you just want to disappear into your cave for a while.
How long was anger part of your emotion?
I don't know. It was maybe the first 24 hours. After that, it was just, you know, just disappointment.
So did you follow along with the lawsuit or the parade proposals or any of that? What did you make of the way the public that supports the team in this community sort of kept the issue in the forefront of the news nationally?
I haven't really seen a lot of it. Look, we've got a fantastic, obviously a great fan base that's passionate, and man, for that to happen, as difficult as that is to happen at home, I can only imagine. And but I haven't really kept up with a lot of that, and I think they too, like, you know, like our players and like everyone else, you know, eventually you never forget it, you know, you move on from it though.
You think this team could be more singularly motivated from this than, say, other
teams? I don't know that that's what drives athletes or competitors. Certainly a chip on your shoulder has always been a healthy edge for anyone. And look, for years, the Raiders had a good chip on their shoulders, won a lot of games. But I think today's athlete, it's still it's the bond that's created in the locker room and not wanting to let each other down, wanting to play their best game for each other. I think those are more, probably more effective in terms of motivation.
Coach, you mentioned the Raiders. Have you talked to John Gruden about
that? Sure, he's a close friend, yeah. He was one of the early calls. There aren't too many people you can call that would be able to reflect on a situation like that. You hang up from the phone and the news is still what it was before you called, though, right?
What's the process for proposing a rule change. Can you do that as a member of the committee?
Well, each member club can. So each member club, each year, would be very common for member clubs to have several proposals, some playing rules, some bylaws. That takes place every spring at the owners' meeting. So I think the dialogue and just thinking through, you know, the proper type of proposal relative to not just replay, but relative to our game as the game changes, I think that's always important. But that takes place every year.
Would you expect the Saints to propose a change on that?
It's as important as who proposes it, as because typically there'll be groups of teams talking about in so it's not as important as who is really the quality of is it something you agree with and you think will pass?
Sean, are you gonna watch the game this weekend? It's gonna be difficult.
I hadn't really thought about it. I don't know that it'll be difficult. I'm sure I'll watch because it's kind of what we do. But I hadn't even gotten that far ahead, even relative to where I'll be. So probably be, you know, with family.
Could you tell us anything that's a slightly different subject, but what Joe Brady did here on your staff that he's bringing to LSU now?
Yeah, listen, Joe brought a ton of information for us, did a great job. He was involved in a lot of the breakdown of opponents, a lot of the drawings. He had coached in college. He was very familiar with some of the RPO game and added a lot to our staff. So we're excited that he's got this opportunity.
You're listening to live coverage of Sean Payton on WWL New Orleans, WWL FM, and HD1 Kenner New Orleans.
First off, the very first topic wasn't debated. Right? Wasn't debated. Nor was it debatable. Look, we knew there was TV timeout prior to the whole sequence. We knew that there were a few options. Three straight runs obviously brings it down to about 58 seconds, and we're ahead three. You can even hear me talk to Drew, like, look, I want to score here. The first play was a run with a built-in kind of an RPO. The look was clean, and it was a little tough navigating the pass rush, but none of that we felt was going to, you know, obviously time's important, but they had two timeouts at the time. So we threw it, we ran it, and then we threw it again on third down. And again, philosophically, I didn't feel comfortable with just, you know, the idea of running it to score was a perfect scenario, but three straight runs, kick a field goal, they come back and tie, and then why didn't you, you know? So that's not debatable either.
Do you think that not getting, like when you got the turnover down there and you didn't get a touchdown, do you think that looking back, was that a...
There were a ton of back and forth. It ended up being 2020. I mean, it was a playoff game with both defenses played well, and we settled for field goals early. All of those things you think about, yeah.
Are there going to be any staff changes this year?
None. I'll keep you posted if there are, but nothing right now.
Sean, this fan base is having a hard time getting over this game. What would you tell them to help them?
Same thing we talked about as a team. It's not going to happen overnight, and it'll take a little bit of time, you know, obviously. But it's why we like this game. Football is like life, you know. It's not always, you know, it's not always going to be how you planned it. It's not always going to be fair. And sometimes you get punched, you get up, and, you know, there's that toughness and grit element that's involved with this game that I think fascinates us all with it.
Offense was a lot more productive in the first 12 weeks than probably the final six. Can you pinpoint why?
Yeah, well, we played some pretty good defenses, and yet I think it's a fair question. You know, we had a stretch, maybe it was a little unrealistic to what we were scoring and how we were scoring, and that feeling, you know, coming off of games like Cincinnati and Rams early in the year. Philosophically, the Rams had changed a lot of what they were doing defensively to a much more zone approach. But the Eagles, look, they were a tough defense. They were a tough out. And, you know, that's the nature of the game. I mean, you get into the playoffs and, you know, you're not scoring 40 points that often. So, you know, we're constantly, you know, critiquing ourselves and trying to be better at it.
What is the biggest critique coming out of the game then, and what you wish you had accomplished?
I think the early field position, we had opportunities to score more points.
One more about the offseason.
All right, here we go.
Wide open.
Could you just outline the big questions or goals that you're thinking about heading into the offseason, whether it's personnel or...
No, I think it's too early to do that. This is supposed to be a recap. And then that's what this is. Like, we're mandated to do this. All right, it's good being here. And then the combine's optional, but best practices, I think, would be the term we get. And then the draft is mandatory. Look, there's always this time of the season a number of things that you have to do relative to your team. This week will be spent on our team. This week and into next week on the evaluation of our own players. There are always some challenges you head into the offseason with, and that's why we're here to figure them out. So that's kind of where we're at with our calendar.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.